is a life that everybody wants. I mean, in church, people are like, oh, you know, I want to be blessed. In fact, you listen to people's prayers and they, you know, the word blessed is in there a lot. We want to be blessed. Who doesn't want to be blessed? But I think sometimes it doesn't register with us that there's something required of us, that we need to step out in the areas that God calls us. And one of those areas is really the area of being generous. God calls us to be generous. And being generous is easy, I believe, is easy when we realize how generous God is to us. God will always be exponentially more generous to us than we can ever be to anybody else. That's how good our God is. And so I want to talk about what does it mean to be generous. In fact, I want you to begin the service by, or the message by, asking yourself, am I generous? Am I generous? Well, let's look at Scripture, because Scripture has an amazing account of what we would say is extreme generosity. Let's look at John chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. It says, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. So this had happened two months prior to what we're reading right now. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of all the oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you will have with you always, but me you do not have always. You know, when I read that portion of Scripture, I ask myself, why did Mary give such an extravagant gift? What was motivating to her, in her, to give such an extravagant gift? And then the second thing is, what was up with Judas? Why did it bother him? It wasn't his gift, right? It wasn't his money. So why was he twisted a little bit? Well, really, this passage speaks about two different types of hearts. It talks about a generous heart, really, which is the heart that God has. And it talks about a selfish heart. Really, that's the kind of heart that the enemy has. So I'm going to look at three things regarding generosity. And the first thing is, look at the enemy of generosity. The enemy of generosity really is Satan. He is the most selfish person on the planet, and he wants to create that selfishness and work that selfishness into us. He's been doing it from day one. Remember how generous the Lord really was with Adam and Eve in the garden. He says, you can have everything. Everything here is available to you. It's all there for you. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, not that one. So what does Satan do? Does he focus on how good God is? Look at what God has given you. Quite the contrary, says, look what God has not given you. You know, God's kind of being selfish, right? He's being selfish. He's given you 500 million trees, but he's withholding one tree from you. I mean, that's really what the enemy does with us. He wants to get us to have the same kind of mindset that he has, and that is really a selfish mindset. But, you know, the bad news is we're born selfish, right? One of the first words that we learn is the word what? Mine, right? Mine, especially if you're a firstborn. Firstborns, they're the most selfish that I'm just kidding. Because I wasn't firstborn. Watch it. Oh, yeah, my wife's firstborn. I better watch it. Although I was the one that ate the tamales, so okay. I was the middle one in the order, so, you know, I'm just taking care of self. But you see, we were born selfish, but really God's desire is that we outgrow that selfishness. Well, I've met a lot of selfish adults. You have too, in the places you work. Very selfish people. People that look out after themselves. Very few people that you can really count. Very few people that you can say, they will give me the shirt off their back. They're ones that I can entrust anything to them. Very few people do that. And so we are born selfish, but God wants to work that out of us. He wants to teach us to be generous just like he is. You know, Judas here, it's kind of funny. He was trying to cover up really his own selfishness, trying to cover it up by saying, it's unbelievable that someone would just do that with their money. I remember when I worked for the feds and people found out that I tithe, that I would, you know, give 10% gross to the church. And it just blew their minds. Like, who would do that? Why would you do that? And they're like, you should put that into retirement account. I said, well, the Lord's my retirement account. He's taking pretty good care of me. See, it didn't make sense to them. And so it didn't make sense to Judas. But he had an alternative motive. His motive was he wanted to put, you know, since he controlled the money box, he wanted to put it in the money box because he was helping himself off of it, which is crazy. You're thinking, wow, he was stealing from God himself. See, when we read the scriptures, we fail to sometimes make it come and live where we live. Because we would say, oh, heck, I would never take from the money box. But once again, we've learned over the last couple of weeks that the Lord stakes a claim to what we have. Everything that we have belongs to him. But he stakes a claim to the first 10% because the first 10% represents the best. The Lord said, that portion is mine. Right? And the Lord said, will you trust me by giving me your very best at the very beginning and then trust me with the rest? And we can trust him. We can trust him. But if we have a selfish heart, we will make selfish choices. It just blows me away that Jesus would trust Judas with the money box. Do you think Jesus knew that he was going to be stealing from the money box? Of course he did. Jesus is God. He knows everything. He knew, but yet he trusted him. He trusted him to make the right decisions. Just like he trusts us. The Lord trusts us with stuff to give us the opportunity to make the right decisions. And we talked 3 weeks ago about the test, really. You and I, we take the test. The Lord wants to see if we're going to make the right choices. Because sometimes we think, well, I have no other choice. Right? I don't have any alternative. And really, that's not accurate. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation, whatever it might be, whatever the struggle is, has overtaken you, except what is common to man. In other words, other people have been in the same place you've been. But who is faithful? God is faithful. Who he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with a temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. All we got to do is say, okay, Lord, what would you like me to do? Right? I'm going to be obedient to what you ask me, but you have a plan. You will provide. So the enemy of generosity really is selfishness and the enemy himself. The second thing regarding generosity is really we have to understand the extravagance of generosity, especially the extravagance of Mary, of what Mary did. She didn't understand the fullness of what she was doing. I mean, she was doing that really out of a grateful heart. She did what she did out of a grateful heart for Jesus. But there was actually something else at play. If we read Matthew 26:12, Jesus explains what she did. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. How extravagant was Mary's gift? It'll blow you away. It'll blow you away. The value is 300 denarii. And a denarii, one denarii was really equal to a day's wage. So 300 denarii is equal to 300 days of work. We're talking a year's wage. I mean, could you imagine giving the church 1 year worth of your wage? Boom. In essence, that's what she did. She gave a year's wage away, right? So why would she do that? Why would she give such an extravagant gift? Why would she do that? Remember who Lazarus was. Lazarus was her brother. Remember, Lazarus had died. In fact, he was in the tomb for 4 days. So it's great that you have money. I mean, it's great that she had a year's worth in the account. But money doesn't do you much good when things like that happen, right? When something traumatic happens, like a family member dies, your money, you're like, you know what? I finally understand the value. People are more valuable than stuff. Can I get an amen? People are infinitely more valuable than stuff. Stuff will burn up. And so this was an expression of Mary's heart toward the Lord. And so that was, she was so extravagant. See, God owns everything in the universe. It's really hard. If you think about it, it's really hard to give God anything extravagant. He owns it all. Right? Yet the most extravagant gift that you can give him is yourself. Do you know that? That's really what he wants. He wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your affection. He wants your time. He wants your priority. He wants to be number one. That's the greatest thing that you can give him is yourself. And yet a lot of times we withhold it from him. 2 Corinthians 8:5, the Apostle Paul talks about the Corinthian church. And he says that they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us. He's making a big deal. He says, wow, they were very extravagant. They gave themselves. And I did that years ago. I said, Lord, my life is not my own. My life's not my own. Yeah, I had an idea about my career, but that didn't matter, Lord. It's what you want. So when he called me to leave my career, at the height of my career, guess what? I walk away. Lord, where do you want me to live? I'd rather, if it was up to Carlos, I'd be living in Orange County. So what am I doing in Washington County? My life is not my own. Right? That's why I'm doing here. To be honest with you, the reason I am pastoring is because my life is not my own. Although I love being a pastor. I love it. But I didn't set out to, you know what? My goal is to be a pastor. No. Because there was a time, don't tell anybody, and I couldn't stand people. Yesterday. Oh, that was cold. Yesterday. Yeah. No, can you imagine having a heart where, and it was partly the way I was raised. Kind of like, forget people. Stick it to people before they stick it to you. I mean, that's the way I was raised. Well, that, the Lord began to change my heart, and pretty soon I began to care about people. And that's when I knew I'm either losing my mind or God's doing something with me. And he was creating the right heart that I would be a good pastor. And so the Apostle Paul talks about the Corinthians' extravagance, and that is that they gave themselves first. You know, when you study the scriptures, really you find three levels of giving in the Bible. You find tithe, which is that first 10%. Then you find beyond the tithe, which is offering. And then you find what you would call extravagant offerings, even beyond that. And we see several times extravagant offerings. King David is one in 1 Chronicles 29. He knew that he wasn't going to get to build the temple, that his son Solomon was going to build the temple. But still out of his own wealth, David gave toward the building of the temple. Out of his own wealth. His own piggy bank, his own bank account. He gave an equivalent to today's dollars of $21 billion. When's the last time you've heard of a president giving away $21 billion of his own dollars? That's another sermon. They love giving away the people's money. But when's the last time you've heard of a leader giving away his own money? I've got another sermon boiling up in me, but I'll wait. King Solomon, right? When he becomes a king, when a king is coronated, what was required of them is they sacrifice a bull, right? That's part of the offering that they give. So I can imagine what Solomon's handlers, Solomon's inner circle thought when he said, I want to sacrifice 1,000 bulls. Well, king, I don't want to be rude, but all you need to sacrifice is one. But once again, he understood that this is his way of showing his generosity. This is his way of recognizing how generous God has been to him. And you might be here and you're like, Pastor, this really doesn't relate to me because I don't have $21 billion. I don't have 1,000 bulls to sacrifice. Well, the next example in Mark 12 is for you. Because the Bible also talks about this widow who was an extravagant giver. This widow, poor widow, she had just these little two coins. And these two coins are really the least denomination. So in our, we're talking 2 pennies, right? 2 pennies. And so the disciples are watching these people come and make a show out of how much they're giving. And they're impressed. Right? They're impressed about how much people are giving. And here this little poor widow comes and puts in the offering box 2 pennies. Oh, we'd say, oh my gosh, lady, you should have just kept the money. 2 pennies, you're not, no. We can't do much with 2 pennies. But Jesus, who knows everything and who weighs perfectly, explained to them, guess what? This poor widow has given much more than all these guys together because they gave really what they could spare. They tipped God. Right? They gave God what they could spare. But she gave everything she had. Her last 2 pennies, all she had. And yet she gave it away to the Lord. See? The Lord sees the heart every time. So the Lord says, if you want to walk in this blessed life, you need to also have this generous heart. Not only do you have a generous heart toward me, but you got to have a generous heart toward other people. And so you say, okay, Lord, I'm gonna take you up on it. I'm going to give you my very best gift, and I'm going to be generous. Well, then you need to know the third thing, the reward of generosity. God rewards generosity. We don't give to get rewarded. That's not the way it works. But He rewards generosity. That's what He does. He wants to do that. So really, a generous heart grows out of a grateful heart. If you don't understand how good God has been to you, then it's going to be hard to get to that place in which you're generous toward God. And it's going to be hard to be generous toward other people because you're always going to be thinking, you open your wallet and like, how much can I spare? That's not a generous heart. Generous heart, like, Lord, man, you've just blessed me. I'm going to bless other people. I'm not even thinking about it because I know, Lord, you're going to keep blessing me. You always do. So here, Judas is giving Mary a hard time. Right? We know he had an alternative motive, and usually a lot of people have an ulterior motive. Like I mentioned, the people that I used to work with. What? You're gonna give that to the church? What's wrong with you? But look what Mark 14:9 says. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Yeah. Lord says, I'm going to reward her for what she did. And that's what He always does. Yet she had no clue. She had no clue that her gift was going to be used really as an anointing for burial. And Jesus said, hey, what she did was really prepare me for burial. And I love the scriptures because there's a lot of stuff that we miss. Psh. When someone would die, normally they would wrap them in spices or whatever. You know, they put maybe like 100 pounds of spices, right? Anoint them, get them ready for burial. But because of the timing when Jesus was crucified at the beginning, right? The Sabbath was going to begin. They didn't have time to do that. So they put him in the tomb. They put the stone. They put the guards. But we know what happened 3 days later. He rose from the dead. So when the ladies showed up at the tomb to finish getting the body ready, the body wasn't there anymore. So Jesus, she's got me prepared already ahead of time. Isn't that amazing? She had no idea that that's what she was doing. What an honor. But the Lord loves to reward. That's what He does. Look in Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We got to have faith in Him. We got to have confidence in Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a what? Rewarder. It's His nature. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Jesus gives over and above If we give with the right heart, He rewards us. That's what He does. You know, an example, and it's a true example. There's this businessman. And this businessman has the gift of giving. Okay? In fact, he, as a successful businessman, he gives away half of what he earns to the church. I mean, he tithes 50%. You got to have the gift of giving to do something like that. So one day he's doing his devotional time, and just, you know how when you spend time with the Lord, you begin to talk to Him, and He's like, Lord, You've been so good to me. And so he decides to, you know, kind of look at his checking account. And so he looks at his checking account and is like, wow, Lord, You've been good to me. Right? You and I, we look, you know, on the first of the month, oh, Lord, You're so good to me. On the 30th, we're like, oh, Lord. Right? He's good always. So he looks at his checking account. He's like, Lord, You're so good to me. And he thinks, you know, I wonder what I have in savings. So he looks in savings like, oh, I'm a very successful businessman. And he looks in his retirement account. And he says, I'm going to look at my investment account. So he had four different accounts, all lots of money. So he adds that up and he's like, oh, Lord, You're so good to me. So good to me. Well, the next day, he's having his devotional time again. And the Lord very clearly asked him, how much money do you have? You know, it got him nervous a little bit. Huh? What do you mean, Lord? He knew what the Lord meant. How much money do you have? He goes, well, are you talking like in my wallet, Lord? No. You mean in my checking account, right, Lord? Well, how much money do you have? And he said, okay, Lord, you know everything. You know that I have, and because he had added it up, he knew to the dollar. He said, Lord, You know I have this much in my accounts. Then the next thing the Lord said was this. Do you trust me? Yeah, I trust You, Lord. I said, okay, give it away. Well, I mean, that'll freak you out, right? 20 years to accumulate all this, and Lord wants me to give it away. I think he's got the gift of giving. He understands that God has been faithful, so he obeys, gives it all away, gives it away. Well, you know what happens? The Lord blessed him even more, right? And so it was a year later, he's doing his devotion, spending time with Jesus, and the Lord asked him again, how much money do you have? That freaked him out really big this time. He's like, I don't know, Lord. It doesn't matter. Lord, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't. I don't care about money, Lord. It doesn't matter. The Lord said, no, how much money do you have? He goes, I don't know, Lord. The Lord says, look at your accounts. So he looked at all four accounts, added up, and to the dollar, he had twice as much than he had in the year before. And this is what the Lord told him. He said, I gave you twice in 1 year what took you 20 years to accumulate. See, that's the blessed life. It's a blessed life, but it's beyond just money. It's beyond just money. I'll give you another example of a blessed life. When I worked in the federal courts, there was something that would bother some of the federal officers I work with, and that is that from time to time, I would get a call from a federal judge. And the first time I got it, it freaked me out. You know, when you see Judge so-and-so, yeah. I might as well pack up my stuff. I'm sure I'm going to get fired. You don't get a federal judge just calling you on your direct line. So I go up there, and the judge begins to ask my counsel on some family issues the judge is going through. And that happened several times. Federal officer, why do federal judges call you and not us? You know why the answer is? The blessed life. The favor of God. Has nothing to do with me, right? Has nothing to do with me. That's the way it works. It's pretty exciting. I want to finish by asking you the same question I asked at the beginning. And that's to ask yourself, am I generous? Am I generous? Lord, I know you're generous, but am I generous? And what does a generous heart look like to you? What does it look like to you? And what commitment do you need to make? Right? Do business with the Lord. Okay, Lord, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? God's good, huh? He is. Hope I didn't freak you out, did I? I hope I did a little bit. Everybody up. Let's worship the Lord.